beyond.
California Art, or MONCA, and the museum exists to make art accessible and to promote awareness of Northern California artists through collections, exhibitions, and educational programs. In this 5-episode series, we're going behind the frames into the stories, the risks, and the history, and the big ideas that continue to shape this community-driven museum.
This is episode 4, The Youth.
I'm Georges Weber, and this is MONCA Unframed. Today, we are delighted to have with us the leaders of our junior board, Ms. Kent Moore and Mr. Johnny Meek. And I would love to know how this whole idea of having a junior board, we have a regular board for the museum, board of directors, and now we have this marvelous junior board. How did that come about? I think, Kent, you were pretty instrumental there.
Yeah. I started out as a volunteer at MONCA, I think 2 years ago now. And I was just volunteering at the front desk. And, you know, Pat will have you do tasks that need to get done around the museum. And one thing she brought up to me was, I think a kid at Inspire had proposed a junior board at MONCA as a way to, like, just an opportunity for students to get more involved. And she was like, what do you think of that? I was like, that sounds really cool. And she was like, could you like write something up? Just like what would the junior board do? Like, what would that look like maybe? And so I wrote something really casual up and she ended up showing it to the board and they really liked it. And then she was like, okay, well, what's the next step? Can we do this? And so it was just a lot, like, I mean, it started really basic and like as just another task as a volunteer, and quickly before I knew it I was writing emails and making flyers and doing interviews. I was working with Pat, but I was also working with an intern who was at MONCA at the time, Larkin Blau.
Okay.
Who was a Chico State student in anthropology, who did the museum certificate program, and they were really helpful. And they were also an advisor in the beginning.
Wonderful. And so you're a student yourself, correct?
Yes.
And where are you studying?
I'm at Chico State, art history.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And then is that what led you to volunteering at the museum?
Yeah, I switched my major a couple times and landed on art history, which I've really found a passion for. And I think my previous majors, I was just kind of going through the motions with them. But this was the first major that I was like, I actually want to get out and do things with it. And seeing museums as like a possibility for my future, I really wanted to get involved in what we have in Chico. And so honestly, the first time that I went into MONCA was with the intention of volunteering. And so I didn't really know that much about it, but that's how I started out. And I met Margot, the volunteer coordinator at the time, and she was just so lovely. And then meeting Pat. So it was a great introduction to MONCA.
Thank you. And what about you, Johnny? How did you get embroiled in this loveliness?
I got involved in MONCA around last April when the junior board was first being formed. I was in my Tweedy Foundations class at Butte. And my teacher, Cynthia Schildhauer, had told me about this opportunity at the museum for a junior board, and that it's open to all students to apply, and that I should try it out. So I emailed Kent, and then went through the interview process, and then in May we had our first meeting for the junior board, and I've been part of the museum since.
And we are so happy to have you. And Cindy Schildhauer is amazing.
She is. She's a great person. She's a great character.
Both as a professor and an artist. She's going to be at the gala, by the way.
I'll have to say hi when we're there.
Yes, you will. So we've had really good feedback from the Cocktails and Conversations event that you guys held. What inspired you to come up with that event, and how did you advertise it?
What inspired us to come up with Cocktails and Conversations was one of the first events we had as a junior board was a visual analysis party for one of the shows that was in the museum. And I forget what show it was that we did it for.
I think it was, it was very up to interpretation. I don't know.
Well, it was successful and has evolved into all of these other shows.
The Cocktails and Conversations is what you'd asked about. We decided after the visual analysis party that it might be better to bring more of the artists back that put their work in the exhibition and give people a chance to come have a cocktail, talk with the artists, talk with each other in more of a light after having some time to absorb the show compared to just talking to the artists at the opening reception when everything's fresh and they're just seeing it for the first time. So they've had some time to process it first and then come back.
We may actually be able to include some little sound bites from that.
My question is, how did you find out about Monka? Like, how did you become a participant, let alone an exhibition artist?
I heard about Monka because of the Snow Goose Festival and heard that there was the bird art exhibit last year. And so came by to see it and really enjoyed seeing all the different stuff that was on display or on the part of the exhibition here. My interest in art has always been, I'm not a photographer, I haven't done that work. And so there were a lot of photographs and I wanted to see if I could bring a piece that was, just a different medium. At that time, it's really sweet to kind of come together with an exhibit around a subject that I love, which is birds, and find all the different ways that people like to explore their relationship with birds.
Question is, what brought you to Monka, and why is this event something that you're interested in? Why are you here?
Johnny brought me to Monka, actually. He is my friend, and he suggested that I get out of the house, so... I really do enjoy art and appreciating it. And there's a lot of amazing pieces here. I really love the quilt work. There's a lot of different colorful pieces. And the way that artists view, like, the same thing, we're all thinking about one thing, birds, right? But there's so many different variations of that. Like, there's so many different ways to express. And there's a lot of messages that I've seen, like, about those birds. And we're here, like, about queerness and different gender norms. It's really cool. I really enjoy it, and I just love seeing the different ways that people express themselves. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was. I want to credit Asahara Traore, who is a board member, Aussie, and a very good friend of mine. But she is a fellow art history major at Chico State and very into visual analysis of artworks. Which is something that we do in class all the time. And so she was the one who initially proposed the visual analysis party, and the Cocktails and Conversations, as Johnny said, stemmed from there. So it's been really great.
Can you tell me what's involved in doing visual analysis?
Yeah, I mean, in art history, I think a lot of times people, when you go into a museum, you maybe glance at a work of art and then read the plaque that's on the wall. And so visual analysis forces art history majors and just anyone to really sit and just look at a piece of work. And I mean, some professors will even do a practice where they have students sit in front of a piece of work for like hours on end and just look at it and write down what you see. And so something that we do in class is look at a work and then talk about our ideas and create discussion around it. And those discussions are always so like enlightening and enjoyable for us and allow us to connect with the work. And that's what we wanted to bring to Monka.
Fabulous. Kind of like for centuries now, artists have sat in museums and repainted paintings that they're looking at, right?
Yeah.
Great. So along with this, what other projects do you have cooking, you guys?
So the only other projects we have cooking right now is the closest one is we're planning on doing another Monca artisanal market, which is a junior board event we hosted for the first time this last year. And we brought some vendors to the museum and gave them a space to sell their work, some bunch of local artists. And so we're planning on doing another one of those sometime this coming April. And then the big thing that the junior board is working on at the moment is we are going to be doing a juried student show at the museum for students put on by students called Never Too Old, Never Too Young. And it's going to be the first show that the junior board is going to be juring and helping along and really taking the lead on putting together.
And what ages or different class levels does that include?
The show is going to include artwork. It's open to people from 6th grade up until the collegiate level. So anywhere from like 12 to whoever's in college. I go to people in their 60s and 70s. So it's just really a chance to try and get students into the museum to try and show their work who might have never thought to show their work.
Wow, and so it's not just student work, it's the never too old part as well.
Yeah, you're never too old to become a student, to try something new, to try and show what you can make or what you can do, or go back and try and make a change.
Thank you. So with the board, you're going to be juring this exhibition and selecting the artwork. And can you talk about that process? And also, I would love to hear about the structure of the board. Like, I think you're the presidente?
Yeah, I'm the president of the board.
Great. And then how does it work? How many people are on the junior board? And what is the structure of that?
So we currently have, I believe, 11 members and one advisor, which is Kent. And then we have another prospective member that we're planning on interviewing and bringing on. She's a Chico High student. But we have Kent as our advisor. We have a president, a vice president, and a secretary, and then just general board members.
Do you meet monthly? Do you meet quarterly? How does that work?
We meet once a month, on average, usually the first Sunday of every month.
And is that at the museum?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, for the advisor role that is Miss Kent, what do you do as an advisor, Kent?
It's kind of up in the air right now. I mean, something that Johnny has been working on, especially with the board, with Pat, and something that we really need to work on soon is the bylaws for the board. Mm-hmm. When I went into designing the board, I came up with some general ideas, but I have no experience with this. And I mean, that's what it's about, right? I'm 22. Exactly. And so I've never been on a board. I've never made a board before. And so there's a lot to learn. And with the bylaws, we want to figure out terms as well as the roles people play. So right now I'm kind of wearing a bunch of hats, but I don't know. Maybe like some kind of representative and then just a general board member.
Great. And so then for that, as well as the entire board, back to the idea of juring a show, curating a show, can you talk about the selection process and how that works? How do you get the art? How do you select the art? Who hangs the art?
So from what I understand, because this is my first time really helping put on a show or put one together, everyone's going to submit an application that we had filled, designed for them, and they'll send us pictures, and then from the pictures, we'll make a determination of what artwork will come in, and then we have preset dates for them to come and drop off their work if they've been accepted after we've gone through the juring process. And we're still kind of looking at and trying to figure out what that's going to be like, what the criteria is. None of us have ever juried a show before, so we're really trying. We just got to figure out what it's really going to be like and, like, how complicated it might be. Like, we don't know how much work we're going to get.
Right.
Yeah, Penny on the exhibitions committee at Monca has been really helpful. She has everything mapped out for each exhibition, and she has shared all of that with us. And so that has been amazing so far.
Yeah.
She's really got it down to a science.
She's brilliant, mm-hmm. and she's got a great eye. Will you be involved in hanging the art as well? I think that would be a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the volunteers are welcome to help with putting stuff up. I mean, we usually have Monday through Wednesday taking stuff down, putting it in the back, and then putting the new exhibition up. And so we've helped with that before. That's one of the board's things that they're supposed to do, is be involved with a certain amount of putting up and taking down of exhibitions at Monca in a year. And so people have helped with that, but I think we're hoping to get a chance to, like, really work on curating and just, like, thinking about curation with this show specifically.
Thank you. That's terrific. What can we do as this senior board or in terms of the museum in general to keep enhancing, refreshing young interest in art, in the arts, and specifically the Museum of Northern California Art?
I feel like that's something that we're trying to figure out. I mean, the board, that's something that comes up at every meeting. How do we get the youth involved? And I mean, I think it's something that's going to evolve over time. I love when Monca has activities for kids. I mean, I know that there was a collage table a while back, and I loved that. And so that kind of stuff that engages you with your own artistic side, and then events that I think encourage looking at the art a lot more. As far as what the older board can do, I'm not sure. I mean, Johnny, what do you think?
As far as the older board, you guys have been helping us a lot and just giving us guidance and supporting us from the start. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful having the support of the full board at your back when you're trying to start new projects and do new things. But also just what you guys have been showing us from your experiences, not just as artists, because not everyone's an artist or works in the art scene, but how you can get involved with art and with the museum, even though you're not an artist. You're just an art enjoyer. Otherwise, we've just learned a lot so far, and we just ask for more support, always more support, and any ideas, or if we can change anything, or if you think there's something that could make us better, or we could make the museum better, we're always open to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And what, in terms of this wonderful project that you've taken on with being on the board, what are some of the challenges that we could help with? And what inspires you in this work that you're doing?
What really inspires me as far as the student show goes and the work with the museum is pursuing art and protecting it and getting ready to be that next generation, because eventually one day someone needs to know how to take care of art and manage museums and preserve all of this, because the people that know how to do it now and that love doing it and love museums aren't going to be around forever. So it's our job as the next generation to help preserve that and to step up and to learn all of it before we can't anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're going to pick up the torch.
That's the idea.
Yeah, and it's a great torch. Mm-hmm. And on that note, in the midst of everything happening in this world, what do you see as the function of art in society and the museum in our society, our local society, our extended, you know, our call for art now goes from the Bay Area up to the Oregon border and to the eastern borders. What are your opinions about that?
I feel like art and the humanities in general are so personal and intimate. And I feel like at the core of them is connection with other human beings and just harboring that connection. And really, I mean, I think that with the events at Monka, we want to give people an opportunity to connect with each other, especially in like such a digital age where loneliness is such a big issue. And in, you know, a world where a lot of people are struggling to have hope, which Monka has a big hope sign on the front of it. So I think that that is a really key component of the museum, is like bringing that hope back to people. And I think that art does a really, really great job of doing that. And the preservation of art is, I mean, just so important, because it's a connection to other human beings and, yeah, just humanity.
Well, you've filled my heart, and you're helping fill the eyes and the souls of everybody in our community and in Chico. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work. We are just so energized by what you all are doing. It's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So what words of advice might you have, either one of you, for how other young folks can get involved?
My advice would be is to just go out and try it. Look around at what's in your community and what's around you, or what might be at your school, or ask your teachers or anyone you know, like, what kind of art things are around town, or what are just some things that might be around that you can get involved with in general, and just take a chance, because you never know what will happen.
How about directly involved with the museum?
I mean, submit art. We have calls out. You don't have to wait for the student show to put in art as a student. I mean, we have calls all the time. Submit your art. Make art for a call specifically. And come in and volunteer. I mean, again, that's how I got started with creating the board. And so there's tons of opportunities there, tons of opportunities meeting artists and just people in the community when they come in, because you'll often be working at the front desk. And then, you know, maybe get involved with the junior board also. That's possible.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Monka Unframed. This episode has been produced by Aiden Vandervoot. This episode is a production of KZFR as part of the Chico Speaks series, with funding made possible by the City of Chico Arts Commission, the California Arts Council, and listeners like you. Listen to Monka Unframed on KZFR 90.1 FM.
Conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, cause they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign. That's why you hear the same old things they claim.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Eleanor Goldfield. This week on the program, we celebrate independent media and press freedom with Izzy Fest 2026 and the 18th annual Izzy Award, named after legendary muckraker I.F. Stone. First up, we have documentary filmmaker Abby Martin of Empire Files, who is sharing the Izzy Award this year for her documentary Earth's Greatest Enemy, about how the Pentagon is the world's greatest polluter and why we must all act to reverse the global damage caused by U.S. military. Next up, Izzy judge Professor Victor Picard joins me to discuss the state of our free press, the challenges journalists face from the current administration, and how independent media can light the way to a more informed and just world. Stay tuned for an hour on Izzy Fest 2026 and a celebration of independent media.
So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fought for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons filled the capacity.
Welcome to the Project Censored radio show on Pacifica Radio. I am your co-host, Eleanor Goldfield. And here is some of the news that didn't make the news for the week of April 20th, 2026. As of the recording of this newscast on Friday, April 17th, Iran has kept its word and opened the Strait of Hormuz due to the ceasefire in Lebanon and says that it will keep the strait open as long as Lebanon is not bombed. Lebanese media reported 60 different towns were struck in hours leading up to the ceasefire. Upon hearing the ceasefire news, tens of thousands of Lebanese returned to their homes in the south, despite Israel telling them not to. Israel attacks have killed more than 2,200 people in Lebanon since March 2nd and forced some 1.2 million people from their homes, according to Lebanese government figures. Meanwhile, Israel continues to murder Palestinians in Gaza, either at point-blank range or through the continued blockade of essential food and medical supplies. And according to the UN Human Rights Office, Israel is engaged in the largest land grab and ethnic cleansing campaign in the West Bank since the Nakba. Today also marks Palestinian Prisoners Day, and as the Palestine Chronicle notes, more than 9,600 Palestinians are currently held in Israeli prisons, an 83% increase from the roughly 5,200 held before the genocide in Gaza began. Large numbers of detainees from Gaza remain uncounted and are held in military facilities outside the formal prison system. In one of the gravest human rights crises in the world that receives basically zero corporate media attention, the famine, massacres, and displacement in Sudan continue. At least 59,000 people have been killed. The number of people with severe acute malnutrition, the most dangerous and deadly kind, is expected to increase to 800,000. About 34 million people, or almost two of every three Sudanese, need assistance, the UN says. Folks can listen to my conversation with Mossab Baba for more context on the horrors unfolding in Sudan. And I know that tax day has come and gone, but for some, there was literally no change. At least 88 of the largest corporations in America paid zero in federal corporate income taxes in their most recent fiscal year, despite enjoying more than $105 billion in U.S. pre-tax income in 2025. That's according to a new report by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. The statutory federal income tax rate for corporate profits is 21%, which means that these 88 corporations would have paid a collective total of $22.1 billion for the year had they paid. Instead, they received $4.7 billion in tax rebates. If y'all just worked a little harder. In related news, a new report by the Institute for Policy Studies analyzed the 20 largest employers of low-wage U.S. workers. Together, these low-wage 20 companies employ approximately 6.7 million people in the U.S. And among many egregious findings, the report found that most of these workers rely on SNAP and Medicaid, while the CEOs make on average nearly 900 times more than their median employees. All 20 of these firms reported median pay in 2024 below $59,600, which is the income level needed to afford the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment. Half of the companies reported a decline in their median pay between 2019 and 2024. The low-wage 20 companies combined spent $260 billion on stock buybacks between 2019 and 2024. This is a financial maneuver that artificially inflates the value of CEO stock-based pay while siphoning resources from worker wages and other productive investments. With $32.5 billion that these firms spent on buybacks in 2024 alone, they could have lifted more than a million people, making the low-wage 20's average median wage of $29,000 up to the $59,600 needed to afford a two-bedroom apartment. In reporting at Prism, journalist Laura Weiss outlines the eugenicist and anti-science wrecking ball that is RFK Jr. as he has appeared this week in front of Congress for what would just be a series of comically bizarre questions and comically dumb answers if they didn't also affect the health and safety of millions. But alas, these are the times we live in. Weiss writes that Kennedy's actions have left the U.S. vulnerable to pandemic threats, previously eradicated diseases such as measles and polio, dangerous unproven treatments, and widespread confusion about medical guidance, noting that Kennedy's actions coincide with historic cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP, and threats to disability rights and services. At the core of this disastrous project is a movement eager to find scapegoats in vaccines and specific populations of people, and one hungry for easy solutions to complex issues, such as the failing healthcare system and how to care for those diagnosed with autism. The problem is, simply put, always the individual, never the system. That's some of the news that didn't make the news for the week of April 20th, 2026. And now on to this week's program.
Welcome to the project.